How's everyone doing? Excellent. Is that tiredness starting to set in? Long time ago, eh? Oh my goodness. Where's the girl I was talking to this morning, Violet? Yeah? You're still awake. Did you take a nap? You didn't. And how are you feeling? Amazing. That's incredible. Can we give her a round of applause again? That's so awesome. You're going to sleep so well tonight, man. I'll tell you what. Are you planning on staying up tonight? No? Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. That's awesome. Man, I'm excited and I'm sad at the same time. I'm excited to share with you guys what I have to share with you. But I'm a little sad because this is our last time together. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for giving me your hearing all weekends long. And thank you so much for rocking up and doing exactly what you guys are doing. It's so incredible. This weekend can really shape the rest of your life. And there's lots of people that really love you and invested a lot. And you guys just being here means the world to so many people. And so you guys are awesome. Can you give yourselves a round of applause? Awesome. Awesome. Okay, let's get into it because I want to get to this talent show as badly as y'all do. It was Sean that was practicing magic on me. I heard Joseph's beatboxing, and I seen other people's skits beforehand. And you guys are in for a treat this evening. It's going to be so lit. I mean, sick. Whatever. Sick. Sick, bro. Sick. Awesome. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about, I'm not sure if it's going to go up on the screen. I don't have a PowerPoint for you guys today because I want to try and tell you guys a bunch of stories. And so I think that this is probably the most important thing I ever speak on. And it's this. Why does God, especially a loving God, allow suffering? I don't know if you've ever thought about something like that before. Why would a loving God allow suffering? And just as we begin, there's this one really important volume within philosophy that I want to introduce you guys to. And this really critical, this really academic volume of philosophy is called Black Panther, Marvel's Black Panther. And that was supposed to be a joke. It didn't land. Raise your hand if you've ever seen Black Panther before. Yeah, dope, man. One of the best movies of all time, I think. And on the soundtrack, raise your hand if you downloaded the soundtrack. Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd. Raise your hand if you know Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd. One person. Nobody else. No, really, not a big hip-hop crowd. Okay, a couple more over here, one in the back. Okay, well, Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd, if you don't know, they're these incredible hip-hop artists. And they wrote this song, Pray For Me. And I'm going to start with these lyrics, and I won't rap them for you because I'm going to try and relieve suffering and not add to your suffering this evening. And so I'm not as talented as guys like Joseph who can beatbox. So I'm just going to read these lyrics for you. I don't know if you've ever heard this song, but it's called Pray For Me, and it says this. Who's going to save me from myself? When this life is all I know, tell me, who's going to save me from this hell? I'm all alone. Who's going to pray for me? Take my pain for me. Save my soul for me. Because I'm all alone, you see. And I think that these lyrics are an incredible backdrop to this topic of why does God allow suffering? And Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd are just giving voice to some of the questions that you and I in our hearts are wrestling with. And just to keep it 100 with you guys, the problems and questions around suffering are the most difficult ones that you'll ever face. Personally, emotionally, intellectually, all of those sorts of things. And no matter who you are or what you believe, you have to deal with these questions. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim,
It doesn't matter if you're a Hindu or a Buddhist or an atheist. We all have to wrestle through this. Does that make sense? We all need to wrestle through this thing. And let me just say this first. If you're sitting here, because I'm not as naive to say that, to think that no one here is going through some real stuff at home or in your school life or even just in your personal life. If you're somebody here that's really, really suffering, I just want to say, like, my heart goes out to you. I'm so sorry for the things that you're going through. And I'm really going to work my best to give you something that really helped me as I've walked through suffering. In fact, one of the last times I gave this talk was in London, England, the original. And in London, England, I used to say to people, I'm like, yo, man, if you're going through pain, like, I'm really sorry. My brother right now is going through his second round of cancer. And I understand what you're going through. It really sucks when there's real suffering at home. So I used to say that, but now I have to say, unfortunately, on February 3rd, so just about a year ago, my brother succumbed to his cancer and he passed away. I got to fly from Oxford to Arizona where he was having this special doctor look after him. And he got this report we thought he was actually going to be okay. And we got this report on a Monday. It was supposed to be just like this regular follow-up that he was going to be okay. But it actually turned out to say that the cancer had actually spread. And that was on a Monday. And it was by Saturday when I was holding my brother's hand in the hospital that he had passed away at 12:43 p.m. His name is Andrew. And he was the greatest big brother anyone has ever had. And that's my subjective opinion. I'm sure your older brother is awesome. But what I'm trying to say, just as we begin here, is like, I really do understand what you're going through. And I'm really going to work my hardest to give you something that's going to help you as you're thinking about this stuff for yourself. And if you are that person, I stand up here unashamedly so to tell you that Jesus can and is willing to help you through the deepest, darkest moments of your suffering. Jesus can do that sort of thing, especially if you're going through something really serious. Now, if you also, just one last preliminary remark, if you are somebody that is going through something, the worst thing that you could do is do it by yourself. There are people here that really, really love you. Like Pastor Louis, for example. Isn't Pastor Louis awesome? Can we give him a round of applause? I love this guy, man. Not only is he a stud, but he is actually so good at everything he does. I'm watching him as he's putting on these games for you guys, organizing you guys, organizing this week. This guy is amazing. And there are people like him, that are willing to talk with you and help you on your journey through something like suffering. Is everyone tracking with me so far? Ready to dig into it? Okay, we're going to break today's talk into three parts. The very first part is going to be the quickest one, and it's going to be the intellectual side. So some people really wrestle with the intellectual questions of suffering and evil and all that kind of thing. So we're going to look at that very first thing. The second thing that we're going to do is look at the emotional side. Because you know what? You and me, we're not just logical beings, we're biological beings. The emotional components of our being is so, so important. So we're going to spend more time there on the emotional side. But we quickly got to do some work on the intellectual side. And then the third and last bit is we're going to do some Q&A. And this will be your chance, like you guys have done through the other sessions, is to ask your most difficult questions, and I'll do my very best to give you a response. Is that cool? Everyone's tracking with me? Three parts? Okay, let's dig in. So number one is the intellectual side. So maybe you've heard of this before. I feel like most people have, and someone actually asked the question during the morning session, and it's the logical or intellectual problem of evil and suffering. And it goes like this. You've probably heard this before online or by your friends or something like this. And it goes like this. If God is all powerful and all loving, then he wouldn't allow evil and suffering. But evil and suffering exist. So therefore, God must not exist. Has everyone heard that before? Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Yeah, most of us have. So if there's evil and suffering in the world, God would stop it. But we see this evil and suffering in the world, so there must not be a God, or else he would stop it. Does that make sense? So that's people's main objection. And maybe you've heard something like that before. It sounds like most of you have. And this is what they're really saying. This is what they're really saying in their argument. They're saying this. If God is all powerful, then he should be powerful enough to stop evil and suffering. And if God is all loving, then he should be so loving that he would want to stop all evil and suffering. And it seems like really intuitive to us that this is the way that God should work. But we see that evil and suffering are in our world, so there must not be a God. So what the atheist, and again, an atheist is somebody that doesn't believe in God, what they will say is, then this shows that it is impossible for God to exist. He can't coexist or exist at the same time as evil and suffering. So they use this to show that there is no God. Making sense so far? You guys are doing great. You guys are looking a little tired. I'm going to do even better. Here we go. But if God did exist, let's do it like this first. If God doesn't exist, does this solve the problem? If God doesn't exist, does this solve the problem of evil and suffering? And what would that look like? Does it solve the intellectual and emotional side of the problem of evil and suffering? And the answer is absolutely not. Absolutely not. If God doesn't exist to solve the problem, absolutely not. Because you're still left with the reality that evil and suffering exist in our lives every single day around the world. And if there is no God, it actually gets even worse. Because you end up devaluing your pain and your hurt. Devaluing it. And it leaves you in a state of hopelessness. If there is no God, then there is nothing more natural in the world than things like violence, like pain, like injustice. Nothing more natural. It's just natural selection. There's nothing more natural than the strong, overpowering weak. There's this really famous atheist. I'd mentioned him earlier before. His name is Richard Dawkins, and he's from Oxford University. He's a biologist. And he says this: in a universe of blind physical forces, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. And you won't find any rhyme or reason in it. At bottom, now listen to this. This is an atheist guy speaking. At bottom, there is no evil, no good, nothing but blind, pitiless indifference. That's what Richard Dawkins, this top scientist that doesn't believe in God, that's what he's saying your pain and your hurt is. You're just unlucky. That there's no real evil. There's no real good. There's no real anything. Just blind, pitiless indifference. What this scientist is really saying is that your suffering, that's just you being unlucky. That it's absolutely natural. And do you know what that robs you of? Do you know what that robs you of? It robs you of any sense of meaning, any sense of value to your pain, any sort of meaning. It trivializes it. It makes it sound like it's not that important, that it's just a thing about luck. More than that, he's saying, without God, we can't even say that something's evil. But when we see something that's evil that takes on in the world, we know that it's evil. Our heart cries out and says, that's evil when people do bad things. So you can't even, if you get rid of this idea of God, you get rid of these ideas of morality, which it means good and evil, these different categories. More than that, it robs you of any sense of hope. Hope for justice and hope for restoration. There's this really popular psychologist in England. She's a really famous author, and she's this really famous psychologist, and her name is Susan Blackmore. And when she was during one of these interviews that they were doing online with her, they asked her what she thought as a psychologist about all of the tragedies that we see in the world. And she's somebody that doesn't believe in God. And she says this about all of the tragedies that we see around our world. This person that doesn't believe in God, this psychologist, he says this. My response, quote, my response is nothing matters. It's all empty and meaningless. This is just the way the world is. Get used to it. And if there is no God, I think she's right. If there is no God, I think she's right. So just disbelieving in God does not solve the problem at all. It actually makes it much, much worse. So how do we respond to these sorts of objections? I'm going to shorten this so we can get into the emotional side. But basically, what a lot of scholars have done nowadays is that they've looked at this problem, because this problem is actually really old. You know, if God is all-powerful and all-loving, then evil and suffering wouldn't exist. It's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so what a lot of scholars have done in the past 100 years, they've looked at this with fresh eyes and said, okay, what's really going on here? And what they did was looked at some of the hidden assumptions that were in the question. You guys know what I mean by hidden assumptions? So, let's say, for example, my babe, she comes up to me and she's like, yo, Alonzo, what do you think about this new dress? And if you think that she is looking, if there's not hidden assumptions within that question, you are tripping. There are all sorts of hidden assumptions within that question of what do you think about this dress? And you best believe, fam, that I need to be saying, boo, that dress, pure fire. So good on you. Looks amazing. Yeah, all the brothers in the back said amen. Right? And there are all sorts of hidden assumptions whenever we look at questions. And it goes with the same thing with this. So what they looked at was these hidden assumptions, and they were this. Number one, God is all powerful. Does that mean that he can do anything? Well, it doesn't seem like he can do certain things. That's what they came to the conclusion. So, for instance, have you ever heard that argument, hey, can God create a rock so big that God can't move it? Have you ever heard that before? Raise your hand if you've heard that before. Yeah, most of us have. No. The answer is no to that question. No, God can't do that. Does that make God less powerful? No. God can't do illogical things. He can't make a square circle. He can't make somebody a married person and a bachelor at the same time. Does that make sense? God can't do those things. Why? Because they're nonsense things. They're illogical. They don't exist. And so God seems to be able to work within the realm of logic. So what that means is that God makes this world full of human beings with free will. The reason why he makes them with free will is so that they can get in this loving relationship with him. And that with free will is the only possible world. Because you got to think about it like this. There's only so many possible worlds that God can create. He can create a world with no human beings. Maybe there's just lots of animals, lots of moose running around, and those sorts of things. But with no human beings. That's one possible world. Well, what's another possible world? Well, he can create a world where people only choose to do the right thing. No evil and suffering. But that wouldn't be a world with you and me in it. It'd be a world full of robots that don't really have any free will. Well, what's the other possible solution? Well, he could create nothing. He could just choose to do that. But the last possible option is that he creates a world with you and me in it, with real free will. And the reason why you can have real free will is because it's the only possible world where love can exist. And God wants a loving relationship with you. But with that freedom comes the possibility of evil and suffering. And so this was a huge thing for scholars to think about and realize that this problem is actually not as strong as people think it is. And the second thing was that people assumed that God couldn't have any sort of reason for allowing evil and suffering. But then they disproved that. They said that God can have all sorts of reasons for allowing evil and suffering. He could allow evil and suffering, well, because he wanted you here. That could be why God chose to create this world. You're so precious to him. You're so important to him that he wanted you and would have no other world but the world with you in it. That adds so much value and meaning to what we go through and to who you are as an individual. So that's two of the ways that they think about this. There's more other ways that they think about this sort of stuff. Not all pain and suffering is bad. You know, if you go on leg day and stuff like that, that stuff's not necessarily bad. It's character building. So there's all sorts of other reasons as well. But here, let's get into the emotional side of things. So God could exist, yeah? No problem. So God could exist. Evil and suffering can exist at the same time. Here comes the most profound question you'll ever think about. Where is God in my suffering? Does that make sense? Sure, he could exist, and sure, all of these things could happen. But where is he in my suffering? Like I said, when my brother was going through his cancer treatments, so they had to remove a piece of his liver first. And then they removed part of his colon, so he had a colostomy bag, they call it. That's where your, you know, your waste goes. And so he had all sorts of different surgeries. And I asked him one day, I was like, I call him Andy. His full name is Andrew. And I said, Andy, man, like, besides just being cured, like, obviously you want that the most, yeah? Besides just being cured full on, what is the one thing that you wanted the most when you were going through your most difficult pain? You know what he said to me? He said, Alonzo, I wanted someone to be there with me. He said, I did not want to be alone in my pain. And I think that that's absolutely true. That deep on the inside, if we can't stop the suffering, we want someone to be in our pain with us. Who is the famous basketball player that recently passed away? Kobe Bryant. What did we all do on social media? Or most of us do, especially if we were fans. What did we all do? We posted about him. Yeah? We posted pics. We posted quotes. We posted all sorts of things. What are we saying? What are we saying to the family when we're posting things like this? We all miss them. Yeah, that's right. But this is what we're saying. That your pain has not gone unnoticed. You think about that? That we are entering into what you're going through. That we care. That we loved him. And that what you're going through right now, we notice it. And it means something to us. It means the world to us. And when we look at the message that's in the gospel, the cross of Jesus is the exact same message to a hurting world. The cross and the resurrection, I've said this before, changes everything. Everything. 10 years ago, when I was a drug addict and first stumbled into church after my sister invited me in, I was broken, hurting, hopeless, and all of these sorts of things. And when I came into church, I thought I was going to find this God just full of wrath and anger. But you know what I found? You know what I discovered? I discovered this God of unparalleled love and compassion. That a God who did not shelter himself from pain and suffering in the world. That there was a God who suffered for me and for you. That was willing to experience it himself. I mean, I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Like, God could have figured out some other way. But he chose to get involved in your pain, in the pain and suffering of this world. He gets involved. And what this does is adds an extraordinary amount of value and meaning to the pain and the suffering that you're going through, that you've had to endure. It means that that famous biologist, Richard Dawkins, that he's wrong. And that Susan Blackmore, the psychologist, that she's wrong. She said that none of your pain matters. None of your pain matters. She's wrong. When Jesus came and suffered, he says, you do matter. He says, you do matter. Jesus entered into our pain, motivated by love for you and for me. God becomes flesh in Jesus Christ, dwells among us, suffers among us, gets scars like us, suffers injustice like us, experiences poverty like us, gets shamed, gets bullied, gets victimized like so many of us have. We may not know the exact reason why you're going through your particular pain. But what can we know from looking at the person of Jesus who gets involved in our pain? We know this for sure. We know that God cares deeply about your pain and that it matters to Him. If it didn't matter, if He didn't care, then He would never have gotten involved. Does that make sense? God doesn't have to leave heaven to come and get involved in our pain. But motivated by love for you and for me, chose to do so. There's this really cool story. It comes from Manhattan, New York. Raise your hand if you've ever been to New York before. Oh, a couple of us. Oh, that's awesome. There's this really famous murder case by this lady, the victim, the person that was murdered. Her name is Kitty Genovese. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of that name before. Kitty Genovese, an Italian lady. Oh, one person? Yeah? Two people. Okay, three people. So this is the story. She's walking home late one night from her late night shift. She was a waitress, and she was working. I think she ended her shift at 3 a.m. or something like that. And she's walking home. And as she's walking home, this guy comes out of the dark and jumps on her and starts assaulting her. I won't get into the details, but they were extraordinarily graphic. I won't get into it for you, bro. I won't get into the details, but he assaults this woman repeatedly. And this is why this story is still talked about even to this day. This actually took place in the 60s. They still talk about it to this day because this girl, when she was being assaulted by this guy, she was assaulted in this alleyway that was just in between all of these apartment buildings. There was over 40 witnesses to this murder. And she's cried out, "He's stabbing me. Someone help me. He's stabbing me." And she cries out. And when she cries out, the murderer actually runs off and leaves her there. But no one comes to her aid. In fact, she lays there for so long and no one comes that the murderer comes back and finishes the job. Over 40 people witnessed this. And no one came down from their apartment building. Why didn't they come back? Why didn't they come down from their apartment building? I'll tell you why. Because if they came down, they would do it at the potential price of their life. Does that make sense? There's a murderer down there. If I come down, I could come down. Just hold on one second. If I come down, I'm risking my own life getting involved. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ, not at the possible cost of his life, but Jesus Christ knowing that it will cost him his life, comes down and gets involved in the mess that we call our reality. You see the difference now? Jesus Christ comes down at the ultimate price, at the ultimate cost, knowing that it will take his life to rescue you and me, comes down anyways to save us. God cares deeply and intensely for you. You sitting here today, If you only hear me say three words, it's this. God loves you. That's what Jesus and the cross demonstrates. He cares intensely for you. You matter to God. You matter so much that if it was that apartment situation, that He would come down and rescue you. He came down and rescued us through the cross. And as John says in his gospel, God so loved the world that He gave His Son, His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. Or St. Paul in Galatians 2:20, my favorite verse, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. And isn't that what Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd were talking about at the very beginning, as I bring this thing to a close? Isn't that what they were crying out for? What did they want in their heart of hearts? Do you remember the lyrics? Who's going to pray for me? Who's going to take my pain for me? Who's going to save my soul for me? Because I'm all alone, you see. In the cross of Jesus, we are not alone in our pain. And that God came to save our souls, to bear our pain, and to be that scarred God. I'm going to end with this story, this last story. The important part about God and Jesus suffering on the cross is this. I had a friend. It was actually not a friend. In our office. So our office is in the CBC building downtown Toronto. So when you walk through this building, you would see all sorts of people that are on TV. So you would see like famous athletes. Like on my second week on the job, Stephen Nash was in the building. You guys know who Stephen Nash is? Yeah, the NBA player. And they, like, I tried to get close to them. They were like, get the heck away from us. Man, you're going to take the opportunity, man, if you see Steve Nash. And so they have that sort of place, and they film live TV there. And so you can walk past the studio. It's really dope. If you're ever in Toronto, holler at your boy, man. I'd be more than happy to give you a tour around our office. But this is the kind of building that we're in. And one day, we decided to have this art exhibition, this art, like, show. And this art show, it's called Beautiful. And what Beautiful is these paintings of these women from India. Now, these are very special paintings of these very special women from India. And the reason why it's special is these were all victims of domestic violence to the worst possible way. So basically what happens in some cultures outside of our culture is that when they arrange a marriage and someone isn't able to pay the actual amount that they're supposed to pay, they call it a dowry, if they aren't able to pay, the woman's family, if they're not able to pay, then there are consequences. So sometimes it's not a big deal and they'll find someone else to marry. But other times they take drastic measures. So what some of these women were victimized by was they would take this boiling liquid and they would throw it on the woman and to mar her on the outside. And they're completely disfigured. Sometimes it wouldn't even be boiling stuff. It would be kerosene, gasoline. And they'd throw it on the woman and light a match. And these women would just be burned from head to toe. And so what our ministry does is we have this humanitarian side. And we would go in and we worked with these local physicians that were repairing these women's faces. They would try to restore them and they would minister to them. And what they would say, and the reason why it's called Beautiful is this. They said, your beauty in the eyes of God is not on your outward appearance. Your beauty is deep on the inside because you're made in the image of God. So what they did was, when they were painting these paintings, before they would start putting all the paint, they put a layer of gold foil. And so as they painted, and certain pieces of paint would chip off, you would see this gold deep on the inside. And what it represented was this, that even though things can happen to you on the outside, that does not affect the value that God has placed on you. And you are extraordinarily beautiful. Even if anyone else does not recognize it, you are beautiful in the eyes of God. And we see God on the inside of you, and no one can take that away. And so we have these paintings on display of these brave women who survived this crazy life. And these women came to faith in Jesus because Jesus loved them and restored them. Absolutely transformed their lives because they were broken women, but they were celebrated. And so there was a guy, his name is Nawid. And he came into our office one day. He was a Muslim guy. And Nawid comes in, and remember this name, Nawid. He comes into our office and he wants to look at all of the paintings. And so I show him around and I tell him exactly what I told you guys. And as we come to the very end, there's this humble little photo in the corner. And this humble little photo has a group of these women laughing and together with each other. And he says to me, Alonzo, do these women live together in a community? And I was like, Nawid, man, to tell you the truth, I don't know. But I'm really curious, like, why do you ask? And he said something that has always stuck with me. He said, Alonzo, I think that they do. Because it is only those with scars that can understand the scars of others. What makes Jesus so unique is that he is a scarred God. And if you've gone through anything traumatic, you know that some people, they'll try their very best to comfort you and say that things are all right and they understand, and they have no idea. People would come up to me about my brother who had went through cancer, and they would say, man, I know what you're going through. I said, mate, you have no idea. I appreciate you saying that. Really, I do. But really, on the inside, I would think to myself, they have no idea about my scars. In the person of Jesus, we have a scarred God who knows exactly what you've gone through. To the infinite extent. No one knows better than him. And so you have this God that not only loves you, but understands the pain that you're going through and is willing and is able to help and restore you and to give you hope and to heal you. You know what the name Nawid means? Nawid means in Arabic, good news. And this guy had no idea that the good news of Christianity is that we have this scarred God that knows exactly what we're going through and loves us. I close with that. What I want to say to you, very last thing, is this. If you are one of those people, and I want to pray with you. So I just need your undivided attention. Jesus says to you and to me, especially if you're someone here that is suffering, Jesus says to you, come unto me. All of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And he also says to you, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your parents may even give up on you, but Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that invitation I want to extend to you today. Because when I received Jesus into my life 10 years ago as a drug addict, it radically changed my life. His love for me, his forgiveness of my sins and mistakes, and I did a lot of those, changed my life. So if I can ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads, and the reason we close our eyes and bow our heads is to show respect to other people. We want to just create a safe space here because this is a time that people are going to connect with God for themselves. So again, if I could just ask you just to close your eyes and bow your head, and that's just, again, to give the respect to other people, to create a safe space. If you're someone here that over the course of all of these talks, and maybe over all of the talks you've heard at church or whatever, and you say, you know what? I want to know this Jesus. I want to know His love for me. I want to know that I matter. And I want to know His forgiveness. Because we all need forgiveness for all of the bad things that we've done. If you want that forgiveness, if you want peace from God and to know His love, to start a relationship with Him, then I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you, if that's you, to very quickly, no one's looking around, very quickly to raise your hand and put it back down on the count of three. No one's going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. This is between you and God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand on the count of three and just to quickly put it back down. One, two, three. Oh, God bless you. 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 You can put it back down now. God sees. God sees. This is really, it's between you and God. Let me just pray for you, and you can just say this prayer in your heart. Father God, I want to free my heart right now. I am carrying lots of heavy things in there, lots of pain. I am so sorry for the bad things that I've done. And I ask for your forgiveness right now. Father God, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die for me on the cross. I thank you that He rose again from the grave 3 days later. And I thank you that you love me, that you call me your child, that I matter to you, and that you forgive me. Bring Christians into my life that can show me how to do this and to understand the decision I'm making right now to become a Christian, to become a follower of Jesus. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, we are going to start the time of Q&A. If that was you that raised your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that was you that raised your hand, the silliest thing that you could do is not tell anyone. I have a friend that I still talk to, that he was the first guy that I told when I made a decision. And he showed me how to live this life and walk this life in Jesus, because I was a mess. When I came to Jesus, I was not acting right. I was doing all kinds of bad things still. But He showed me how to live this life, and it changed me forever. So tell someone. Tell someone who loves you. Tell someone who loves Jesus, and they will help you with that. I'm going to invite Pastor Louis up here. And also, if you want, I brought a bunch of books. New Testament, which are really dope. You're not going to find these anywhere else. I brought some books on science and some books on the reasons for God. If that's you that wants to sink your teeth into them, I'd be so, so happy to give them to you. I hooked up my boy Caleb with a couple of them already, and he was excited about that. I would be so geeked to give it to you for free. Absolutely, man. I got you. And absolutely, my brother. Okay, thank you so much for giving me your hearing.